The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
You're listening to Pure Rock Radio. Feed your addiction! Yeah!
Hi, I'm Claudio Simonetti from Claudio Simonetti's Goblin, and I'm here on Radioactive Metal.
Welcome to Radioactive Metal. This is Radioactive Metal, your source for news, views, tunes, and interviews. Here are your hosts, Snowy, Rock, Corrine, and Aaron.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to a Nightmare Before Christmas episode of Radioactive Metal. This is episode 535, and I'm Snowy White. You know, I'm not going to use that particular gag that I used last time once again. These are the trials and tribulations that you have to go through when you're doing a radio show / podcast such as Radioactive Metal, and you have co-hosts on the other side of the continent. Our longtime listeners will know that, hi, I'm Snowy White, and I am up here in the wonderful world of Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. My co-hosts are along the East Coast of the United States, you know, all the way down to the beautiful Orlando, Florida. And because of, you know, geographical challenges, sometimes getting schedules together and, you know, finding the time and everything all falling into place, it's just, sometimes it just doesn't happen. Well, here on Radioactive Metal, I don't ever want this show ever to be quiet. So, I kind of have to, once again, put on my big boy panties, step up to the mic, shall we say, and kind of do what I like to refer to as a Snowlo show. Basically, Snowy going solo, and it's definitely looking forward to this week because there was a lot of stuff. I had a lot of fun over the past 7 days. Took in some kick-ass show. Had one hell of a creature feature this week that is just, when just as you probably read in the write-up or somewhere on a post, you've already read that tonight's creature feature is with the legendary Claudio Simonetti, he of Goblin fame. And if you are a horror film fanatic, you will know that Mr. Simonetti is kind of like the John Williams or John Carpenter, you know, of lower budget European, Italian type films, whatever you want to call it. And basically to meet this gentleman, interview him, have him on the show is far and away a bucket list moment and a bucket list personal moment as well. So I was really excited with all of that that went on. And there's a pretty, if you're a Cannibal Corpse fan, okay, whoa, like I am, you know, like I discovered Cannibal Corpse, you know, when I saw Eaten Back to Life on a cassette version, just sitting on the rack in the new release, never even heard of this band. And it was just one of those times back then when, I'm dating myself here, when before the internet, before you had any sort of immediate access to anything, you kind of had to read about a band in a magazine, a reliable record review or something, or took your friend's word for something, or you just bought Sound Unheard, and I took one look at Eaten Back to Life. I took a look at the song titles and the cover. Oh, Metal Blade Records. Oh, okay, sold, and I have not looked back. This week, okay, with everything that was going on, the Pat O'Brien situation. Oh, definitely had to step up with that. So we got a kick-ass episode this week, as always. Like I said, even though it is just myself, I want to keep all the regular features and segments and all of those things that just make Radioactive Metal the best show on the air. So, without further ado...
And what have we been up to this week? Find out in our Metal Fix.
Tonight's Metal Fix is brought to you by the fine folks at True Cult Coffee. That's True with a V. Cavalt. K-V-L-E-L-T. And coffee. TrueCultCoffee.com. Oh, I'm enjoying a excellent cup of it right now, as with every episode in my Buffy the Vampire Slayer mug, and I'm kind of doing things a little bit differently. I'm actually doing this early in the morning, so I hope my neighbors don't mind hearing all my yelling and screeching and all the music blasting and all that. And so since it is actually early in the morning, this is definitely something that I should be consuming right now. True Cult Coffee. This is a product. It's a very metal product made for metalheads by metalheads and all that. And even if they weren't an official sponsor of Radioactive Metal, it's just a product that I would be enjoying anyways. Like, it's just, they're becoming more and more a prominent member in the metal community. And when metalheads go and do something like this, give back like this, you gotta help them out and all that. So truecoldcoffee.com, spelt the Cavalt way. Check it out and enjoy tonight's Metal Fix. Well, I was busy. It was definitely one of those weeks. The last 7 days, I took in four amazing shows. First of all, starting with here in Winnipeg, around this time of year, the Christmas season is upon us. It is the time for giving, especially for those that are really in need. And the Winnipeg Harvest, you know, is just an incredible charitable organization here that does so much to help feed the poor and the needy at this time of year. And the Winnipeg metal and hardcore punk community does their part with the Fuck Hunger Festival, shall we say, when for a weekend. And unfortunately, I missed the first night, but I made sure I got my butt down to night two for just a $5 admission plus two you know, two non-perishable food items gets you into an amazing night of local music. I had the good fortune of checking out the Chernobyl Wolves, great hardcore band, as well as the Suburban Hypocrites and Doom Metalers, Witch Trip. Good stuff, good stuff. It's always a good time, and it's one of those, it's for a good cause, and it's a fantastic night of music, and it's one of those evenings where I wasn't working it in any capacity. Wasn't talking to anyone. I wasn't helping load any gear in. I wasn't doing anything. I was just showing up, having some lemmies, having some beer, and just having a great time with some great people and great music, and just a metric shit ton of stuff over those 2 days was raised and donated to Winnipeg Harvest. So horns up to the fine folks up around here. And because of that, I'm not even going to give them a hard time, you know, like I normally would, for the lack of people, you know, a couple days later that did not come out to a band called Clitoris. What the hell would that be about, Snowy? Well, Clitoris, okay, is really wicked unsigned metal band that has some prominent members in their lineup. Their drummer, Eric Gotti, who is a member of Suffocation, and their guitarist is one Aaron Homa, who is probably more known is now a member of the legendary Annihilator, having appeared on the last couple albums. Now, by the time Clitoris got into town, there was already the Fuck Hunger Festival. Okay. Right after that, Psycho Billy Rockers Creep Show, which unfortunately I didn't make, they were in town. The Mighty Goblin were in town the day after that. So, leading up, you know, heading off everything, bringing up the tail, is poor Clitoris for the fifth show in 5 nights here in this secondary market. So, unfortunately, there wasn't a whole hell of a lot of people there. Which normally I would get up on my snowbox and say, what the hell is wrong with you people? Like, come on, here is a member of Annihilator up there, up on stage, just shredding. Like, why the fuck would you not be here? Yeah, it's a Tuesday. Yeah, you got this, you got that. I get it. Normally I would be doing this. Not this time, because I just understand there is just so much going on, and I certainly hope you put most of your efforts into the Fuck Hunger Festival. Before that, I'm not going to get into too much of it in this segment, because, as I said at the top of the hop, the Mighty Goblin, more specifically Claudio Simonetti's Goblin, was in town putting on a once-in-a-lifetime show. And I've said this over and over, and I've gotten up on my snowbox about that. When there is these, you know, being a secondary market, okay, sometimes, you know, you're only going to see certain bands once, especially if the show tanks. Okay, well, fortunately, this rather unique show, where I will get into, you know, more detail a little later on this evening, this show did not tank. It was packed. And it wasn't just metalheads. I think, you know, a lot of horror film fans also piled in and all that to catch this once in a lifetime show. So good on them. And as well, the Manitoba Metal Fest will be coming up quite quickly in March. And in order to raise funds for that, to pay for those two nights of awesome music and debauchery. Well, the money's got to come from somewhere, and Ninja Cat Productions puts on what we call the Metal Fest fundraiser shows, where we put on a Friday night, a Saturday night, you know, where you're going to maximize that audience. Okay, they put on some local bands, get together, waive their fee, pack the place. All the money is going towards making Metal Fest the kick-ass festival it is. This time round was one of the, was headlined by the mighty Inverted Serenity and one of my favorite, not just local bands, okay, but just bands in general, with the mighty Zombie Assault, which that is on the drums, Mr. Corey Thomas, who we mentioned many, many times on the show, and we shall, he of the head honcho of Ninja Cat Productions, very, lot of kick-ass bands across the city. We've had him on for his time with Flash Out, and we've had Zombie Assault on this show, which is with his brother Sean on bass and vocals and all that. And they were the highlight for me from this year's Metal Fest. You know what? At some point, just for all of the hard work, you know, that both brothers put into getting tonight's creature feature in town, some point we gotta drop a Zombie Assault track and just remind everyone just what a kick-ass band they are. Speaking of kick-ass stuff, I hit the record store, and right now, as we're leading up to Christmas, I've kind of been barred from certain music stores and all that, because in the past I've gone shopping, you know, as Christmas is approaching, I bought some DVDs. Okay, not really thinking it of anything. And then little Snowy, my daughter, ends up having to take back the DVDs that she had bought me for Halloween, unbeknownst to me. So there are just certain stores that, you know, that I know that they would shop for me, that I've just been barred from, you know, through the months leading up to Christmas. One of those stores that I have not been barred from is Into the Music here in Winnipeg. And they, because, like, for obvious reasons, okay, my brood is not shopping for me, okay, at that particular store. I know they are not, and they are certainly not looking to buy any 7-inch hardcore and grindcore records that I picked up this past week, starting off with the kick-ass straight edge grindcore band Coke Bust. I picked up their Fuck Bar Culture 7-inch single. That is a fantastic EP. There's a really cool it's a wicked combination of black metal and crust. Iskra out of Vancouver, they've been around for a while. They make some kick-ass stuff. Picture like I said, a black metal band with some crusty parts in there, and their lyrics are all social and political lyrics and all that. It makes for one hell of a combination, and I can't wait to see them. As well, the hardcore band Expire, who recently, I think it was just last year, they finally threw in the towel after a phenomenal run. Their debut 7-inch, Suffer the Cycle, I picked that up. Great stuff on that. And finally, but to round out today's Metal Fix, some cool records across my desk, including the side project Cast the Stone, their album Empyrean Atrophy. What Cast the Stone is the side project of Mark Kolopal from Misery Index, and Derek Engelman from Scour. Two bands, you know, no stranger to this show. There will be a new Misery Index record, Ritual of Power, in March of 2019. And so this record was kind of a warm-up, something to kind of tide you over until the new Misery Index record. And I've got a track for that I want to drop right away as well. Finally, I want to introduce you, if you haven't heard, new Metal Blade recording artist, Mother Feather. Their debut record with them, Constellation Baby. This is a really interesting band, and it's a kind of a little off the beaten path for this show, but when it came across my desk, I cranked it and I had a really good time with it. Picture, if you will, some of the more well-known B-52s. Okay, if they were kind of a hard rock or metal band, that's kind of the combination that you would get out of Mother Feather. I really, really dug that. So, let's maybe get into some of these cool tracks here before we get into tonight's extra special creature feature. Let's go with something from Cast the Stone. This is As the Dead Lie.
Yeah! Greats. Original stars, The Emotions. Denise LaSalle. Super Dude James Brown. OJ, Lou Rawls, Tower of Power, Teddy Pendergrass, and Denise McCann. Cool in the Gang, 3 Degrees, Rhythm Heritage, John Ellison, and Jesse Green. The Isley Brothers. Get Down with Boogie, 20 Boogie Greats, Original Stars, Non-Stop Dancing, $6.99 from KTEL, tape cassette $7.99.
Shake.
record constellation, baby, that is New York rockers, Mother Feathers. Yeah, it was pretty cool stuff. Really, really, really digging that. Before that, that is the debut from the Mighty Expire from that Suffer the Cycle 7-incher with Sleep Loss. And starting the whole shebang off, that side project of one Mark Kalopal and Derek Angman with From Cast the Stone, from As the Dead Lie. That is a perfect record too. And like I said, that's get that now. Nice warm up before you do get that new Misery Index record coming up very soon. This week was definitely one for the books for your cool Uncle Snowy here. Everyone who knows has known me for any sort of amounts of time know that I am a huge horror fanatic. Love horror films. Ever since I was a kid. When I was in my teens, I started to kind of branch out a little more into some more obscure horror, going across the pond to Europe and Japan and, various other areas of Asia and all that, just to get as much cool horror films as I could. Along the way, discovered the classic Italian slasher films and various other types of subgenres from one Dario Argento, who's probably most known for his work with for his writing and directing of the classic film Suspiria, and for his work with George Romero on Dawn of the Dead. Million whole whack of other fantastic films, classics that if you're into this type of entertainment, you will know Deep Red, you will know Tenebrae, you will know Phenomenon, you will know what's known as Creepers here in North America. There's just so many great movies that Mr. Argento still works on today. The beautiful music supplied for a lot of Mr. Argento's more classic films came from the Italian progressive rock band Goblin. It was most notably fronted, the main man is one Claudio Simonetti. The Goblin went on to make all of this classic music and really developed a following and a reputation of their own just for being, fantastic musicians making all of these great songs that complemented this music so well, to the point where they have their own legendary status. Okay. So obviously, as both a fan of aggressive music and horror films, Goblin definitely got my attention and has been a favorite band for many years now. Unfortunately, being up here, in a secondary market and not really traveling very much, I was only until now, literally decades later, did I finally see a version of Goblin, now known as Claudio Simonetti's Goblin. All thanks to the hard work of Corey Thomas and Ninja Cat Productions. I mentioned at the earlier this show how this was kind of a once-in-a-lifetime show as well, because it was definitely the most unique. Okay, because the idea of this show, and Mr. Simonetti will get into it in a little more detail as we get to our chat. What made this show so unique was it was basically a screening of said classic film Suspiria. But while the movie is playing and when you get to the points where there's some of that fantastic music comes up, the band is right there on stage playing it in time with the movie. That was absolutely incredible. Like, okay, they announced that, and it's like, oh, this is really cool. I can't wait. I have Suspiria memorized. I've owned it. I had the good fortune, even last year, finally seeing it in a local art house theater up here. And it's just, this is going to be an amazing experience, okay? But the very first time that I saw it happen, okay, as the part in the where the music comes up and then I see the band go into motion and the music kicks in, I actually said to myself out loud, you know, wow. It's just, it was absolutely incredible, absolutely incredible. It's just an amazing movie, amazing band, amazing music, and Mr. Simonetti is just an amazing guy. One of the things I will never forget about tonight's creature feature is I was also volunteering, you know, at the venue with Ninja Cat. They were running late. I'm not going to get into all the behind the scenes and all that. Band finally showed up. I went out to the back of the venue to go help with the gear and all that. And I recognized Mr. Simonetti right away. Okay. This is the type of gentleman that he is. Now, you might think, okay, he's this legendary figure in this world and all that. Maybe he's got a bit of a rock star in him. I said, I kind of alluded to, they were having some problems getting here. So maybe he's a little tired, a little cranky and all that. Okay, well, this is what type of gentleman Mr. Simonetti is. When I saw him, okay, he took the first step towards me, put his hand out, and said, "Hello, my name is Claudio." Wow. Wow. Hello, sir. It is an unbelievable pleasure and honor to make your acquaintance, and thank you so much for this evening to get us to this wicked, wicked chat with Mr. Simonetti. Yeah, what about some music? And it's like, oh my God, like there's just so much great stuff that it's just like, ah, oh, what do we choose? What do we choose? Okay, well, they were there for the Suspiria. We should probably do that theme song. Yeah, but he's most noted for the Dawn of the Dead soundtrack. Oh my God, Tenebrae. Tenebrae has some wicked music. Oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? How about we just kind of put together a little medley here for everyone just to get an idea of the awesome tunes that Mr. Simonetti and the Mighty Goblin are known for, which is going to get us to my chat with the one and only, the legendary Claudio Simonetti of Claudio Simonelli's Goblin.
First and foremost, one of the questions I always like to start with an artist like yourself, you've been around, you've done it all, you've seen it all. When you hear the expression legendary, the legendary goblin and all that.
I don't know. I like this. It's strange. Sometimes I feel like a dinosaur, you know, like an ancient.
Right.
Yes, it's something. Yes, like a legend. Legend is still. Yes, it's great to be considered like this. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, okay, I feel a little old if you see.
Oh yeah,
but it's good. So. It's good because I still have the same feeling that I have when I began. When I begin,
mm-hmm.
So I'm still like I am. I was 20 years old, even because I go live to go live to play live. My most favorite thing is to play live with
mm-hmm.
a concert like this tonight, you know. So it's wonderful. So yeah, I don't know. I don't consider myself a legend. Maybe someone else.
Right. That's. I think a lot of the times it's guys like me.
Yeah.
Throwing that word around. You know,
yeah.
Like the press, like kind of throwing that around.
And I also have my legendary musicians as well. You know.
Oh, I imagine
like
so.
Like Keith Emerson
yeah.
mm-hmm. and keyboard player like that. So I've grown with them. So.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Almost like. But he's also like a contemporary of yours as well.
Yeah, oh yeah, we're almost same same period.
Right.
Yes, they started a little before I was a little younger mm-hmm. than these bands.
Right on. First and foremost, tonight was an absolutely incredible show. Not only just from the brilliant musicianship and all that, and just thank you so much. What made it really unique was like the idea behind it and all that. And we'll have given it an intro and all that, but maybe you can share with our listeners exactly what we saw, what the concept was, and kind of what inspired it.
About what? About
what we just saw,
this,
yeah.
This concert?
This
oh, yes.
tour, yeah.
No, this tour, okay. We are playing Suspiria from... we started 6 years ago. So it's many years that we are playing Suspiria around, but we play also other films. We play Dawn of the Dead, Profondo Rosso.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Profondo Rosso, Deep Red, and Dawn of the Dead, Zombie of Romero. So we do these three films, these concerts with the film. We decide this year to play Suspiria, in the States, because it's 40 years, but it's 41 years.
Okay,
it was 1977, yes. So we have a lot of requests, so we decide to play Suspiria. Maybe next year we'll play something else.
Okay, so this concept isn't just a one-off, a one tour. You're going to...
Yeah, this is a Suspiria tour, even if we play the second half, all the concert with the big success taken from the other films like opera, like Tenebrae, Demon, mm-hmm. Demons, The Third Mother, and Zombie, not that yet. But normally we play more than in a concert. We play 2 hours, and we're doing a lot of other films.
Fantastic. Yeah. Thank you.
But we,
so much.
With the film and the concert, we play almost 3 hours. I think it's enough.
Yeah. Sorry, you'll have to excuse me. This is just... we're doing this after you guys played, so I've been cheering and yelling and all that. So my voice is a little off. Yeah. Sorry.
Me too. Sorry. I have a little cough.
This is a predominantly heavy metal, hard rock, punk, whatever you want to call it, type radio show. But I've noticed that, like, over the years, Goblin kind of attracts that audience as well.
Do you play Goblin on the radio?
I have yet to, but I, you know, with accompanying this interview, we will.
Oh, yes.
We
okay.
will play.
Okay.
But yeah, okay. I am a metalhead for 40 years. And Goblin is a band that's I've always considered to be a part of that scene, but maybe some people don't.
Yeah.
Do you get a lot of crossover fans? Do you get a lot? Just I imagine the most of the people here tonight and on this tour would be horror film fans, but do you get a lot of metal fans that you noticed?
Oh, yes, as I told you before, we have a lot of metal fans, even if we are not bad metal, you know. Mm-hmm. But they like, because they're in the music I did with Goblin, also by myself, because I did a lot of films by only with after the split of the separation of the original members of Goblin, I did many films with Dario Argento, and. So I think that in the imaginary of the people, they like the horror movies. So sometimes the music, even if it's not very metal, they love it because it's gothic. It's mm-hmm. something. Yeah, the sound is quite dark,
right.
Dark and rock. And sometimes there are also some parts a little dance. You know, like dance music. Tenebrae is a dance, mm-hmm. And it's fantastic. I play. I remember in one big festival in France near Paris, with I don't know, maybe 5,000 to 6,000 people.
Wow.
Yes, and when I play Tenebrae. It's fantastic to see all the people dancing, like in the discotheque, you know. Mm-hmm. The heavy metal fans, you know, it's fantastic. It's fantastic.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
I'm still surprised, you know. I am really surprised about that, because after I started with the first big successful film was Deep Red, Profondo Rosso, mm-hmm. 1975. So we are talking about. 43 years ago,
right?
Almost 44. So it's incredible. If someone told me in the next 44 years we will be very famous around the world, I say, no, you're joking. It's fantastic, you know. I'm still surprised about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really glad, and this gave me the power to go on the stage and play like in the beginning. Yeah.
Right. And okay, you mentioned some of these songs go back to the 70s, but really what I heard, and maybe it's just the way it comes across live, it sounds very modern, fresh.
Yes. What I say is that maybe most of the new bands, they copy something of the past, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think that bands like Deep Purple, Led Zeppelin, they are always the masters, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Many new bands, even with they have new sound, you can hear the inspiration from the prog or the rock of the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
I think we did a lot of good stuff that
for sure.
Will do is will be always in with time. No one will forget. Thanks for to internet also, because mm-hmm. internet destroyed the the records right. and the records industry and all, but open a new frontier for let us, all the people in the world to know and choose really what they like. You know, mm-hmm. No, because they listen for TV or radio, they just choose everyone what they want on the internet. So, and I appreciate a lot that people love Goblin and Dario Argento's film. And so I did a lot of film with Romero, George Romero, mm-hmm. Fulci, the big Lamberto Bava, right. Quite famous directors of horror movies.
For sure, yeah. When you mention those names, I can't help but smile. Yeah. And I can see that you are as well. Goblin's no stranger to playing like metal festivals. I know the promoter tonight met you originally at the Maryland Death Festival.
Yes, we play. Oh, you know, we are very friend of. I'm very friend of Phil Anselmo.
That was going to be the next one.
He's a big fan of me.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He invited me two times to play House of Horror mm-hmm. in Austin and then in San Antonio. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we play in the same festival with the people. We did Suspiria in Austin.
Okay.
Yes, with Phil Anselmo. And it was fantastic to see 3,000, 4,000 people standing watching the film. Mm-hmm. With a big success like tonight.
For sure. And that is, like, yeah, there's some metalheads and all that, some hard rockers here tonight, but that is an all-metal show. How well did you guys go over at those festivals? Like,
I don't know. It's strange because sometimes we play in these festivals where there are bands completely different from us.
Right.
You know? But when we arrive, it may be something different and people enjoy it because people know, of course, they know most of the music I play. Mm-hmm. So many songs are quite famous, you know. So even if it's not a real heavy metal, they know it. Of course, it's not pop music because we don't sing, we don't have just music. So music is you can play everywhere in the world because we are no words, no lyrics, and. I think that's very important when you play and you don't have just the vocals. Yes.
Right. Do you listen to a lot of heavy music, aggressive music, metal? Like?
I listen for all. I don't have just one genre. You know, right. I can listen for everything. I don't have any. I can listen for Slipknot and for Celine Dion.
No, okay, well. That's great.
Yeah,
no, that's
good.
Fine.
Yeah, I don't have any. Yeah, I think there are many. Mm-hmm. I love country music, for example.
Right.
So yeah. So, but I listen for all classical right. and heavy metal. I don't have any. Yeah, it depends on my mood.
Fair enough. Yeah. The Demonia project was almost like Goblin Mach 2, and all that, and you worked with Danny Filth.
Yes.
From Cradle
yes.
of Filth.
Well, yes, like, we start tonight with the song singed by mm-hmm. Danny Filth, The Third Mother.
Right.
I'm a big fan of Cradle of Filth. I love them. Mm-hmm. So when I wrote the music for the Third Mother of Dario Argento, I think that maybe the main end titles should be good with one song. And I wrote something this. Thinking for Danny Filth because I'm a fan of him, and so I did this demo with Danny Filth imitation okay. with my voice, and I say no, well, be beautiful if Danny Filth accept to sing this song. So I never met him, so thanks to one friend in London that he was involved with, he knew very well. Danny Filth, he called Danny Filth and asked him if he would like to work with me, and he said yes. He's a big fan of Dario Argento and the Goblin, so we stay in touch, and then we record this. And he recorded in England and sent me the files, mm-hmm. and I use it. Then after I met him personally after 2 years, mm-hmm. when Cradle of Filth played in Rome.
Yeah, it's amazing how you can do that with the internet, because
yes,
I'm up here. Yeah, yeah. I'm up here. My co-hosts are in Florida. I've never met my co-hosts.
Yeah.
And we do the show every week together.
Wow, I never met.
Never met. Because we do it over the Skype.
Yes, this is fantastic. You can do everything. You can play with everyone. Thanks to internet. The internet is a global.
Oh, for sure. For sure, for sure. Have you seen the Suspiria remake?
No.
No?
I joke about it when I say when I start. I said this is not the remake.
Yeah.
No, I don't know anything about the new one because I left Rome in October and the film was not distributed again. So the one funny thing is that I saw one interview on TV of Luca Guadagnino, the director, and he explained why he did the remake in Venice, in Festival of Venice, Cinema Festival of Venice, yeah. And he explained why he did it, it was a long interview, but the funny thing is that during this long interview, they put their goblin music as background. But I don't know. I don't know what Tom York did. Mm-hmm. I think I like Tom York because I like Radiohead. I think he's a very good musician. He was a genius. So
for sure,
I think he did something different. It's not easy to work in a successful film like Suspiria. You know, especially for the music of Suspiria. So do something new is a hard work. You know. I don't know. Have you seen the film?
I did.
Yeah, it's good.
It did actually make its way up here in the theater.
I bought the record of Tom York.
Okay.
Yeah, I bought it during the tour. I found the LP, the vinyl, nice. But I didn't have a chance to listen it. Okay. I will listen for it.
Were you guys offered to provide music for the remake? Were you offered the opportunity to?
No, in the beginning, yes. I remember the first part of the production many years ago, they asked to use the main theme.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's it. But that after we did some agreement about that, but after they choose a different director, the director was not Luca Guadagnino, was another one, I don't remember the name. And it was the American production, Italian-American production.
Okay.
I'm talking about 5-6 years ago. No, when they started talking about the remake.
Really?
And after that, I just knew that Tom York did the film, and he doesn't use the Suspiria version, of course.
Right. I have to admit, remakes can be hit and miss. Some good, some were. I was a little nervous going into this one.
Yeah, normally remakes are really bad, except there are some exceptions. One of the I like is Dawn of the Dead.
It's
very good.
Very
good. I love it, except for the music. No, because the music was nothing special. Mm-hmm. You know, right. There is something missing. Well, the film was great. The remake was great.
It was good. Zack Sarah Pauly.
Zack Snyder, did it.
Yeah.
Yes, a great film because different zombies. They are fast. Very bad. Really bad guys compared to the Joe Romero one. But I also love the Texas Chain Massacre.
That was very good too.
Very good. Very good
it remake. Was. It was very good.
Good
yeah.
But
I
saw many other remakes really bad.
Oh, they just brutal. Yeah. Just
brutal. Media don't disappoint me.
Good. No, it shouldn't. No. It shouldn't because it's not.
It's
not shot for shot like some remakes have been and all that. They got their own spin.
Okay.
Yeah. And finally, I'm glad you mentioned Mr. Romero. Yeah, it's just about that time. It's been a long night.
I'm sorry because in '78 when we did the music, we never met Romero.
No?
I never met Romero in my life. Just one time.
Really?
A year before he passed away. And it was when he came in Italy in one festival, or cinema festival in Lucca. Is a town in Tuscany, and for the first time I met George Romero with his wife. We passed all the entire afternoon together. We talked a lot about everything. He was a nice person, very nice person. And I'm very sorry because after less than 1 year, he passed away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you dedicated the song, and we saw the picture of him on stage and all that, I got chills. I got chills.
I think this is a.
It was a nice tribute.
I think it's the right thing.
Yeah. And finally, How much gas is left in the goblin tank? Can you still... How much longer do you think you can do this for? Like, is there still a long time yet?
Oh, yes. I hope to be. if people love it, if people still love this music, I will play it forever, you know? That's the good thing of music. You can play forever. Mm-hmm. And, of course, when you are 19 years old, it's more difficult, but it's fine. I'll try.
Yes, I want you to be with us for a long time yet.
Yeah, yes, yes.
Are you fed up with constantly searching for the records you want? Are you tired and frustrated from always straightening out your LPs? Now with KTEL Record Selector, this will never happen again. To choose your favorite music, tilt the first record forward. The others follow automatically. Pick your selection when it appears. To choose more LPs, lean the next record forward and wait for your choice. The Record Selector is a new space-age design for selection and storage of records. Fingertip control regulates the speed of record selector. To replace the records, tilt the first record forward. Record selector with a mind of its own will automatically stop where the LP was taken from. End awkward selection and storage of LPs with record selector. Attractively finished in a gift box. KTEL record selector, only $3.99.
We'll be right back.
kind of as a thank you for all of their hard work in bringing Claudio Simonelli's Goblin to the wonderful people here in Winterpeg. That is a Zombie Assault from their Video Nasty album with Worst Case Scenario. And as I mentioned, that is the band, Mr. Corey Thomas and his brother Sean, who did, like I said, did so much for bringing tonight's Creature Feature to you. And I thought they would really, really appreciate, you know, hearing one of their songs coupled with an interview with Mr. Simonetti. Thank you so much, you guys. You have no idea how much it is appreciated. And before that, I think it's rather appropriate that we play some Slasher Dave from his latest record, Frights. That is Shrieks and Creaks. And of course, Slasher Dave is probably more well known for his work with the metal band Acid Witch. We've played on the show. I'm sure we'll have him on again. And of course, I want to get Slasher Dave maybe next Halloween, you know, for a Creature Feature. And you can tell just by his Slasher Dave solo material, he's got more than one Goblin record in his collection, and it really shows. And I thought it was very appropriate to thank Mr. Dave for all of what he does in this kind of way as well. So thank you so much. Thank you so much. Before we kind of move on from there, I want to share kind of a little story. I want to pull back the curtain a little bit. I had a very, very rock and roll moment with Mr. Simonetti that I will never, ever forget. The band was running late, as I said. There's 800 million things to do, least of which, you know, is talking to me. You know, you have sound checks, a band's got to eat, you know, there's just various things. If maybe there's a VIP that, you know, with autographs that they have to attend to, they got to set up merch. There's 800 million things. I understand this. Okay, but I definitely, you know, it's a bucket list moment to have Mr. Simonetti on Radioactive Metal. Okay. Everything just kept getting pushed back. Oh no, I'm getting a little nervous here, but he's a very gracious gentleman. He really wants to talk. Okay, great. Fortunately, we had to wait until after they played. Okay, went backstage afterwards as the band was unwinding and all that. And he said, okay, great, let's talk now. Okay, as, you know, we're getting ready and all that, he wants to know if I would like a glass of wine. It looks like red Italian wine, obviously, you know, Italians, big wine drinkers. All right, now I sort of have an unwritten rule, unless I really know the band well, while I'm conducting my interviews, I like to abstain. Even if it's just sipping a beer or one drink or whatever, it really won't affect the interview, but you kind of want to maintain some semblance of professionalism, okay, even though it was offered to me. So I said, well, thanks anyways, but maybe we'll save it until afterwards. And then it kind of hit me. Dude, are you seriously not going to accept a glass of red Italian wine from Mr. Simonetti? Yes, my dad would say, give your head a shake, man. Of course you're going to. So I quickly changed my mind. I said, yes, sir. That actually sounds like a great idea. He poured me a glass. He poured himself a glass. He brought him up and he said, cheers. And I said, you know what? Salute. He really appreciated that. We sat down with our red Italian wine, and we had a wicked conversation. Talking to this guy would be like talking, for me, would be like talking to Rob Halford or Ozzy, Tony Iommi, just someone of that top tier legendary status, shall we say. And, you know, some people, like at the beginning of this show, you might have said, well, it's not, Goblin's really not that metal. Like, they're not really that heavy and all that. That's more 70s prog rock and all that. And it's true enough. But as we said in the interview, you know, it's just like, they have such a following within the metal community and have done so much within it, playing various different festivals and working with various artists and all that. And it was like a metal show. You know, when they went up there and they belted out the tunes, you would think that this was just a straight up metal show, because, you know, they're updated. You know, they're not remade, but it just kind of sounds live in 2018. It sounds, you know, like they're updated, you know, for a more modern sound, you know, to a new audience and all that. And it's just, wow. It just made for an absolutely incredible experience. We have our Rammy episode coming up, and with what the Rammies are, it's kind of radioactive metal, Ram, R-A-M, Rammy, kind of our take on the Grammys and our favorite, where we're just going to sit down and we're going to talk about our favorite album, song, live event, news item, whichever. We got a metric shit ton of some great categories that we dive right into it. No, I'm telling you, Claudio Simonetti's Goblin, this Suspiria show is definitely, oh, it is, it's the top of the heap right now for my Rammy Award for Best Live Show. I was absolutely blown away. Thank you once again for everyone that made that happen. And I want to thank the music community here in Winnipeg. It wasn't just metal artists, you know, there was all sorts that came out and were thoroughly entertained by this once in a lifetime show. And the place was packed. It's so nice to see the Park Theater just packed, just from the stage to the back bar area, just, you know, there in support of Ninja Cat Productions. Thank you so much. And I want to thank my beautiful wife, Mrs. Snowy. She doesn't come out to a lot of shows. She's just not into a lot of the brutal death and grind and punk and hardcore and all that. But she knew, okay, this show is definitely special, and it's something that Snowy would definitely want me to be there for. So she came out and had a fantastic time. Thanks everyone else that made their way out. Oh, this was very interesting. Okay, the Patrick O'Brien from Cannibal Corpse saga. Speaking of Rammy Awards, when it comes to, you know, news story of the year, I think this is definitely something that is going to stick out as well. This past Friday, December 14th, Mr. O'Brien had posted a $50,000 bond to get his ass out of jail right now until the trial starts. Now, if you haven't heard, this is a very bizarre incident that took place on Monday, December 10th, near his in Northdale, Florida. Okay. Mr. O'Brien was arrested after an incident involved when his home was on fire, and he fled from it, and who knows exactly what was going on, but as his house was engulfed with flames, he had allegedly broken into a nearby house and assaulted one of the occupants from the house by pushing him to the ground Eventually, he fled the house and was found in a nearby backyard by police. Now, the police had alleged... They ended up having to tase him, and he allegedly charged at one of the officers with a knife. Like, and now, there's no word as to why all of this was going on, but the whole thing that started it all was just just how brutal that the fire in his home was, because apparently there were military grade fire flamethrowers in his house and various rounds of ammunition in it. Okay, and all that weaponry made extinguishing the fire that much harder. Like, this has been just an absolutely bizarre story. I remember when I was compiling the stuff for the show, I was thinking, oh, okay, we're gonna have to sit down and talk about how the fact that Cannibal Corpse has been added to the next leg of the Slayer last tour, quote unquote, how they've been added to the bill, and we wanted to pick my co-host's brain and all that just to find out their thoughts on that. Well, a couple days later, you know, the Patrick O'Brien fit hits the shan, shall we say. It's like, oh my God, wow, this is definitely the thing to talk about. And it just, this is like, wow. It's just the thing that makes me, oh, like, I understand, okay, you're in a tough situation, okay, and he obviously felt he was in the need to defend himself and all that, but man, like, what is going on with you in your life at that moment, okay, where you're being, you know, you're assaulting neighbors and being tased by police allegedly and all that. And I understand it's a very traumatic moment, your house is on fire and all that, but oh, holy shit, what the hell are you stockpiling, you know, for the lack of a better word, all of this weaponry and all that? I mean, I understand, like, especially in Florida, you have the right to arm bears, shall we say, but wow, this is getting out of hand. But I'm not going to get on my snowbox about, you know, about the gun control issue that the U.S. has had, because this in itself was just a kind of a fucked up situation as it is. Now, apparently, to help him with all of his legal woes and all that, a GoFundMe account has been created and all that, and it's like, I don't know. I don't know if this is something that I really would get behind, because this is just some bizarre, you know, acting out here and all that, just with everything. And it makes me wonder, like, okay, I understand death metal isn't going to make you a rich man, okay, but you gotta have, being in Cannibal Corpse, I've seen the crowds that they, you know, that they draw in a secondary market here, no less. And I've also, you know, they're the biggest selling death metal band of all time and all that. I don't think he needs the shekels. I feel bad for the guy, you know, for what happened to his house. Definitely. I could not imagine anything like that happening here to Snowy Manor. I would just absolutely be crushed. I have exactly zero sympathy for everything else that went on. You know, it's definitely just a bizarre situation. It kind of makes me want to kind of pay tribute to Cannibal Corpse folk singer Kevin Sullivan. Okay, and pro wrestling fans like myself will definitely know the name Kevin Sullivan. No, this is not the Kevin Sullivan. This is kind of a folksy singer, comedian, shall we say. And a couple years back, he wrote a really cool song called Ode to Cannibal Corpse.
Saw it at the record store when I was a kid. The people on the cover were hanging themselves, shooting themselves right in their faces, and ripping out their own intestines. The title was Gallery of Suicide. When I saw that every song on the album was about hacking people up for zombies, I knew I had to own it. Cause I love Cannibal Corpse. I think they're really awesome. Cause I love Cannibal Corpse. The greatest death metal band of all time. Life up the torture, especially the bleeding. It is their classic album. I've always really liked the bloodthirsty, butchered at birth and gore obsessed. Can't forget about the wretched spawn and tomb of the mutilated. Cause I love Cannibal Corpse. They'll rip your face off of your face. Cause I love Cannibal Corpse. The greatest death metal band of all time. With a hammer, they'll burn off what's left with a blowtorch and leave you with a skull full of maggots. You'll be pounded into dust and you'll become part of their dead human collection, left to fester in your crypt and then devoured by vermin. Cause I love Cannibal Corpse. I think they're sick and evil. Cause I love Cannibal Corpse. The greatest death metal band of all time. No one will ever be better, not even in 1 million years.
We're always on the lookout for fresh new talent. Check out this indie spotlight.
Tonight's indie spotlight artist, The Last 10 Seconds of Life, originally came to my attention a couple years back through all of their work with the To Live a Lie record label, who we've pushed on this show more than once. Great, great indie label that, you know, we will push a lot of their stuff in the future. The Last 10 Seconds of Life, kind of a brutal deathcore type outfit. Fantastic stuff. They now find themselves out on the independent circuit with their latest release, Machina Non Grata. When that came across my desk and I found out that it was self-released and all, I thought, oh, well, this is interesting. I wonder what happened, you know, with To Live a Lie. But regardless, it's a good opportunity for us to give The Last 10 Seconds of Life some more than 10 seconds of some of our attention, shall we say. So I immediately tapped them for tonight's indie spotlight. Let's go with their track Psychophrenia. This is The Last 10 Seconds of Life.
I shall read the battle title. Crush the world's all you bitch.
indie spotlight that is the last 10 seconds of life from their Machina Non Grata record out on the indie trail right now. That is Psychophrenia. Great stuff, great stuff. Be sure to check them out on Facebook and as well Instagram.com/TLTSOL. Of course, the initials from that name. Check them out, check them out. Great stuff. Well, I think we got through another one. I think that is it for this week's episode. And another snow-low episode. We persevered, we got through it. And I hope that you enjoyed it. And more specifically, tonight's awesome creature feature with one Claudio Simonetti. Once again, thank you everyone. That was an absolutely fantastic moment that I will never forget. Before we get on out of here, well, here, let me grab a quick sip here. Thank you once again to True Cult Coffee. True with a V, cult with a KV, coffee.com. Check them out there. It is a great metal product by metalheads for metal fans. Great stuff, great stuff. And of course, if you are listening to this on podcast form, Radioactive Metal is available first Thursday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern time, or check your local listings, shall we say, on Pure Rock Radio, purerockradio.net. This is the best damn radio station out there. Great stuff all around. Check it out, check it out. And of course, Radioactive Metal is a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network, shiningwizardsnetwork.com. What that is kind of a conglomerate of some of the best podcasts on the air. You are going to find not only the fine folks here at Radioactive Metal, but it is a predominantly pro wrestling podcast network, but there is a variety of other pop culture, comedy, social issues, just everything. Your one-stop shopping for all of your podcast needs. Shop shiningwizardsnetwork.com. Check it out, check it out. We should kind of make our way out, shall we say, with something maybe a little that was inspired by tonight's creature feature. For the younger audience, if you weren't too familiar who Goblin was, you would definitely probably be familiar, I should say, with the band Zombie, just with an I. They put out some kick-ass records on Relapse. Oh my god, I don't know how long ago now. But it was the same, the band was the same idea, between musically, that Goblin does. You could tell that Zombie had their share of Goblin records in their collection as well. Let's go out with their track Mission Creeps. In the meantime and in between time, that's it. This has been not only another Snowlow show, this has been a Nightmare Before Christmas episode. And I'm Snowy White, signing off.
Visit us at radioactivemetal.org or go to iTunes for past episodes and write a review. Listen to us live every Thursday night on PureRockRadio.net. You can also listen to us on Stitcher.com, TuneIn.com, Google Play, and all other podcast aggregators. You can purchase the music featured in this episode by going to RadioactiveMetal.org and clicking on the episode link. Leave us a voicemail. We want to hear from you. Call 321-80-HEAVY or 321-804-3289. We may even play it on the show. Email us at radmetal666@gmail.com with suggestions or for indie spotlight submissions. Follow us at facebook.com/radmetal, twitter.com/radmetal666, and instagram.com/radioactivemetal. This has been a presentation of Radioactive Metal. It's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.